This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to On the Bench. I'm your host for this episode, Brendan Sinone, joined by Zach Lawstein. I don't know why I said your name like that.
Yeah, Zach. I feel like it's kind of messed up.
What's it messed up?
I don't know. I just don't like the pronunciation. Pronounce it right. Happy holidays to everyone. I hope everyone is enjoying time with your family. Excited to get back into it. Took a little, not even a break, but just a day or two off, obviously. At least I did. I don't know if Brendan did. Recover after that side. The crazy... not even just, you know, the Wednesday signing of the 3-day signing period, the Thursday as well, with the end of the Conrad Hussey recruitment, which we'll get into in a little bit. But, man, needed a little break, but ready to get back into it.
Recharge the batteries, buddy. The people on Knowles 24/7 on the Unconquered board were getting mad that you didn't have scoop for them.
On Christmas Eve. what am I going to write about? I don't know.
Yeah. You should be calling all your sources on Christmas Eve and pestering them for more information.
No, I get. I mean, we were posting probably what dailies. We can't talk about how good we are.
No, don't do that.
Yeah. Ever. So let's move on. Okay. The Conrad Hussey recruitment.
Real quick, before we get to the Conrad Hussey recruitment, let's give a shout out to our sponsor for the end of the month. Yeah. And they have a very cool event coming up here in Orlando on Wednesday evening. That's only like 2 days away. It's coming up quick. And that is the Battle's End. Maybe you've heard of them. Battle's End Collective's putting on a block party in downtown Orlando, 129 West Church Street. If you know, you know. It's at Harry Buffalo from 4 p.m. to midnight. Have you ever heard of Jake Owen, Zachary?
Oh, yeah. Great Owen, country artist.
Yeah, he will be headlining an acoustic music set. It's pretty cool, right?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that kind of got lost in translation on signing day when we were talking about it. It's going to be just rocking out with him in the guitar. I like it. Bare bones.
FSU alum.
Yeah. So make sure you check it out. If you're there, it's free. You just got to show up. It's going to be awesome for FSU fans. They want you to take over downtown Orlando and go crazy the night before the bowl game, the Cheez-It Bowl in Orlando. So shout out to the Battle's End. Thank you for sponsoring this episode of On the Bench, and very much so looking forward to seeing the turnout there in downtown Orlando. Are you going to be there, Zach? Are you going to make an appearance?
I'm hoping to.
Okay. That's not what about you? I'm hoping to. I get down there Wednesday evening. So, yeah, I guess I probably will just head straight.
On the lookout for a little, 5'5" guy with some gray in his beard.
Shout out to all the short kings out there. I'm not 5'5". No, I'm like 5'8". There's a lot of gray in the beard, though. I cannot deny that. I'll have a pronounced limp. Thank you. I look great. Should we talk about football now?
I think the Knowles 24/7 message board is up in flames right now over this. But yeah, let's get into it.
Okay. So the Conrad Hussey recruitment. Deep breath. It came to an end. There is a signature. It's finalized. And Zachary, it went somewhat surprisingly, I think, well for Florida State. I guess it depends at what point we were thinking it would go for FSU. Some points we thought it'd go terribly. Some points we thought it'd go great. You got the signature at the end of the day. FSU got a commitment and a signature from the 4-star safety from St. Thomas Aquinas.
Yeah, just an absolutely crazy recruitment. But not one that got crazy until the last 2 weeks or so. It was a guy that committed to Penn State all the way back in April of this year. Looked to have everything squared away with his process back then. Even after he took an unofficial visit to FSU in the month of June, there wasn't really much talk out there that his pledge to Penn State was in question. Well, 2 weeks before signing day, he decides to take a surprise visit, not to us, but to the nation, I guess, official visit to Florida State. He spent, you know, the 48 hours in Tallahassee, two weekends before signing day, and then the following weekend made another official visit to the hometown Miami Hurricanes. From that visit to FSU 2 weekends before, I mean, I think there were probably about 6 lead changes in his recruitment. I'm not like joking about that. I'm not trying to.
No, he's not being this smart. Hyperbolic.
Like, I think, yeah. So after the FSU visit, I was hearing that FSU was in the lead and was likely to flip him. But that was, you know, more than a week out from signing day, which was this past Wednesday, of course. Well, then I had heard later in the week that Penn State was likely to keep him in the boat. You know, they made some calls and were getting on the phone with him and his family, and things looked good. And then he was supposed to take an official visit to Colorado with his teammate. That didn't come to fruition, but that didn't mean that he wasn't going to step on any campus. He went to, you know, down to Coral Gables, not a long drive for him over at St. Thomas Aquinas in Fort Lauderdale. And he spent the weekend with Miami's coaching staff, Mario Cristobal. They got the final FaceTime with him before things went dead that Sunday night. And then over the next 3 days, it was absolute mayhem. You know, the first day, I think, was kind of a toss-up. He was still figuring out where things were. I think Penn State was probably still in the best position right then. Never really heard that Miami moved to the forefront of his recruitment, to the leader position. It was mostly FSU and Penn State battling it out. But Miami did have, you know, at least a little bit of momentum coming out of that final official visit weekend. But, yeah, between Monday and Thursday when he eventually signed, man, it was going back and forth. And, you know, on Tuesday night leading up to Wednesday's first day of the early signing period, I had heard that it was Florida State. And I was really confident in that. Obviously, you know, with the caveat that this thing changes a ton. And, you know, I was right. It did change. And I think at the beginning of the day, it was Florida State. And it moved towards Penn State again. But he ended up not electing to decide on Wednesday. After saying that he was going to do something in the evening, he called it off completely and took another day. Well, then on Thursday.
Real quick to interject, Zach. We had heard from different sourcing that, like, he had actually verbally committed to Florida State on Wednesday.
Yeah. And I believe that happened. At least, you know, got on the phone and let the coaching staff know that he was coming. That doesn't mean, you know, obviously he didn't sign anything, so it's not doesn't binding matter. Or anything. Yeah. That wasn't until, you know, obviously the Thursday evening. Believe, you know, FSU got the momentum back on Thursday in this recruitment. You know, he did an exclusive interview with Knowles 24/7, just explaining his decision. And, you know, essentially said that, you know, this was his dream school growing up. He had to go with where his heart was. And FSU did an excellent job of recruiting him down the stretch. Credit to Mike Norvell, Marcus Woodson, off-field guy, Greg Moss, who played a large role in this one, has some connections to the family and was huge. If you saw the Instagram live of Conrad Hussey's announcement on Thursday evening, Greg Moss was on there. And then you saw some Marcus Woodson and obviously Mike Norvell. So, all played a key role in this. A huge get out of South Florida, a really talented safety prospect that Penn State absolutely wanted to keep in their class, and a guy that you steal away from Miami as well that wanted him, and he was absolutely a take for them as well.
He's a top 200 caliber prospect nationally and very much like modern safety type of vibes, like where he covers at a really high level. You can put him in the slot and let him go to work. He play up top, defends the perimeter well. Decent size at 6 foot, I think 190 pounds. If he fills out to be 200, you're in really good shape there. So yeah, someone who it was a sizable win, I think, for FSU for a variety of reasons. Big position of need. You need to keep adding to your safety depth, especially with some of the veterans that you might be losing on this current roster. And then for just the amount of time and energy that you put into this at the very end to go ahead and beat Miami for someone in their own backyard, to flip someone from a well-functioning Penn State program. Like, yeah, like that's a big win for FSU and at a variety of levels of the program too, to show like stability. And it was big. It was a big win for FSU. We'll get a little bit more into like the big picture of this. And we'll be talking about, I think, more of the twists and turns of this recruitment and some of the superlative section we're going to do later on in the podcast. But yeah, just a huge win for FSU to go ahead. And on a day, well, not a day, a day after, FSU was not able to secure the Keldrick Fall commitment. He flipped Auburn. Like it was good to get another blue chip player back in the class. So I think FSU blue chip ratio wise in the class SAC is at, I think it's 8 4 or 5 stars and 9 3 stars. But then we get to the transfers, which I think should absolutely count. Different people are tracking them different ways. And I know us as a network, we don't value in the calculations transfers quite as much as prep players, but man, I don't necessarily agree with that, with the way the transfer portal's going. Either way, this is shaping up to be a decent class for FSU. Maybe not an elite class, but a cumulative of very, very solid overall. I feel decent about where things are going with this program right now.
Yeah, agreed. I think you kind of, you know, obviously you got a little sour taste in your mouth as an FSU fan on Wednesday with the Kendrick Falk flip. But I think closing out the signing period with a guy like Conrad Hussey, you know, a recruitment that FSU absolutely worked its tail off for, and they get the reward there, I think it's huge. And it kind of, you know, I just think puts an overall positive light on the finish to this class. And, you know, obviously we'll get into the transfer portal stuff that is not over and is ever evolving, but, you know, a solid end to FSU's, you know, signing period on this past week.
Do we want to talk about some of the transfer portal activity that's happening? Because that's really going to be where the heat and the action is, I think, for the next couple of weeks, Zach.
Yeah. Want to get your thoughts on two guys okay. You know, specifically that are that FSU is targeting, that they have been targeting for a good bit now out of the transfer portal. First is Western Michigan defensive tackle prospect Braden Fisk. You dropped some scoop this morning on him. Want to hear your thoughts on where FSU is sitting in this one.
Some tea on Braden Fisk. So Braden Fisk, for those who are not familiar with him, and if you've been listening to this podcast for at least the last month or so, you should know the name. But if you don't, he is a blue chip defensive tackle recruit in the transfer portal, 93 overall grade from 24/7 Sports. That makes him the highest ranked interior defender in the portal currently. And just an extremely productive, experienced, I think 3-year starter out of Western Michigan. He's a graduate transfer. Has over 100 career quarterback pressures. He had 6 sacks this past year, and he's just gotten better year over year. Someone who I really liked, like when he entered the portal, and I didn't even know if FSU was interested at that point, but you watch him play against Power 5 teams like Pitt in 2021, Michigan State in 2022, and he jumps off the film at you because of how he moves and how much energy he plays with. So Braden Fisk is someone that, you know, as we follow the twists and turns of this recruiting cycle, he has officially visited Florida State. He officially visited USC, and he officially visited Notre Dame. And our Alan True, I think it was like 3 or 4 days ago, 24/7 Sports reported that Braden Fisk was down to 3. So he's not planning to take any more visits, which is something that Braden, when we caught up with him about a week ago, had indicated that he may be done, but he kind of wanted to at least take some time to recharge after this whirlwind of recruiting process. Remember, this is a guy who was like basically an unranked recruit, maybe been like a 2-star guy out of high school. I think he had one offer, and that was from Western Michigan. And so as someone whose recruitment is the second time around, has just been this monumental, like, I was going to say cluster, but it's not really a cluster. It's been a whirlwind of activity. So he wanted to use this week to kind of recharge a little bit, sit back, evaluate his choices. And he's narrowed things down to the 3 or 4 mentioned schools, Notre Dame, which is about 45 minutes from where he lives in northern Indiana, USC, and FSU. Zach, after his official visit to FSU, we had multiple sources and all of us kind of using our non-real Rolodex. No one uses Rolodex anymore, but reached out to different sources. And the feeling then was very spread out all over the place. Like, some people were cautiously optimistic, some were very optimistic, some were kind of pessimistic and thinking, yes, he's a Notre Dame lock. I think Notre Dame's coaching staff felt great about it. As we get to Monday here and after the holidays and starting to kind of feel like this recruitment is coming to a close and winding down and it will not linger into January, I feel really good about where FSU stands for Braden Fisk. I will not do a crystal ball on this. No, I will not. No, we are not doing any crystal balls for transfer prospects. That's just not what we're going to do. But I think FSU sits in a really good spot for Braden Fisk. Understand that things could change, that, you know, as we record this on a Monday morning, nothing is public or anything like that. But, I mean, I think they're going to get Braden Fisk. And I would put FSU over the field right now. I guess that's the best way to put it. I think FSU has a really good chance of upsetting Notre Dame and getting Braden Fisk to come play defensive line for the next season. And that would be huge for FSU because he could play three or four different spots up front. He fills in. If you lose Fabian Lovett, he fills in there. At the very least, he's going to be a starter with Fabian Lovett and Daryl Jackson in the rotation and Dennis Briggs. And like, oh man, like the potential for the defensive line to be elite exists. But even if you do lose Fabo to the NFL draft, like Braden Fisk is a really good replacement for him for a year. And a lot of
Brendan Fix.
Braden Fisk. Did I say Brendan?
It sounded like Brandon.
So anyways, I rambled there, but did you get the gist of what we needed like to get out? Like,
Let's move on. That's awesome. That's good news. Obviously if FSU lands him, that'd be an amazing get out of the portal at a major position of need. Obviously they've already gotten Daryl Jackson from Miami. You know, a big portal get, but
picked up a 4-star officially, Zach. He is a 4-star 90 grade.
Fifth
rated defensive tackle in the portal.
Good stuff there. Moving on, a guy that FSU has you know, targeted from the jump, like most of these guys, and I know the Knowles 24/7 message boarders are really wondering, you know, what's going on in this recruitment. Virginia defensive back transfer Ventrell Deuce Cypress. Brennan, what's the latest here?
So he took official visits to UCLA and then FSU, FSU being in the final weekend of official visits before the dead period. And coming out of those official visits, first off, we talked about this, like Deuce is kind of a difficult guy to read and just his interviews. And yeah, Chris Knee did his damnedest. He'd go back and watch the interview at Knowles 24/7's YouTube page. Like Chris did the best he could to get the pertinent information about the recruitment. And Deuce being I think a 4-year player at Virginia did not tip his hand. So anyways, again, having to work the phones, work the non-existent Rolodex there. You know, we thought FSU did a really good job of making a strong impression on Deuce Cypress. And if it's just between UCLA and FSU, I don't want to say 100% chance that it would be FSU, but 90% chance and 95% chance. Like FSU is in a great spot. The big question is, does he take a visit elsewhere in, what's it, January 4th when that 4-day window begins?
January 4th through the 8th, correct.
And that's for transfer prospects that can official visit.
Only for guys that are trying to enroll mid-year, so in January.
All right, and FSU's classes start January
9th, I believe.
Okay, so anyways, you want to see if Deuce Cypress visits anywhere else officially, right? Like that is going to be huge. If he says, I'm shutting down and making a decision in a day, like if that becomes public, and I don't think that's how that'll work. I think Deuce will just announce when the time comes. It doesn't seem super flashy and one for fanfare. But let's say we get word out that he's not taking any more official visits and he's shutting it down. Like that's a great sign for FSU. So we've been trying to chase like, hey, is he visiting anywhere else? We know that LSU's been involved. We know that some of the Texas schools have been involved. We know that Ohio State has been involved. The word that I've gotten from a couple different places, Zach, is that Deuce Cypress was potentially going to visit LSU, and different people can view it in different ways. Like, is that a courtesy visit? Is that a real legitimate visit? Like LSU is one of the few schools that have courted Deuce Cypress. That I think that offers something similar to Florida State in terms of playing on a big stage, having a chance to compete for something meaningful in 2023, being able to play at a high Power 5 level where NFL teams will be able to take note. It checks a lot of those proverbial boxes. Shout out Chris Knee, who's in Orlando right now, for Deuce Cypress, LSU does. But LSU has gotten a commitment from two commitments, right? I think from transfer cornerbacks.
I think so.
LSU 27. They've gotten two, including one from the Texas A&M kid. Help me out with his name. I'm blanking on it.
Denver Harris.
Denver Harris is one of these. And he's actually ranked a little bit higher than Ventrell Cypress. He's ranked 96 in our system. And Deuce Cypress is ranked 95 grade, but both really high-end guys. They also have a commitment from Zy Alexander from, I think, Southeastern Louisiana. So they have two cornerback commits. I don't know if that precludes LSU from getting an official visit there. Zach, but I think that it's a sign that LSU might be pretty comfortable with this cornerback. Are you on him? Am I boring you?
Just tired.
I'm tired of you. And I think FSU might be in a pretty good spot here if Deuce Cypress ends up not taking that official visit to LSU. We do not know of any other official visits right now. I actually checked with our LSU site. I think on Christmas Eve, we were working on Christmas Eve, regardless of some angsty people on the message board wanting Zach Scoop going through withdrawal. We get it. And LSU did not know of any official visits. The LSU site, Sunny Ship over there, did not know of any official visit with Deuce Cypress. So this is going to be worth monitoring, man. I think we might be getting to the part of the recruitment where it's kind of about closing time. If FSU is able to go ahead and prevent Tim from taking any more official visits, I think this one's more or less a wrap for the Seminoles. So both with Braden Fisk and Deuce Cypress, long story short, FSU's in a good spot for both of them. I think they're in a great spot for Braden Fisk. I think they're in a good spot for Deuce Cypress right now.
Whew. Good stuff.
Do we have any other names in the transfer portal we want to get to? Like some new names that we haven't talked about? I could throw this to you, Zach.
Yeah, throw it to me.
All right, catch.
Thank you. So let's go over three new names that I think FSU fans should know about. I think FSU is in communication with all three of these prospects. And if the, you know, I don't know if Michael Tarquin has hit the portal yet. Has he officially hit the portal yet? But, you know, if he has, then I think FSU will be interested. I want to make sure.
Looking it up.
I want to make sure we put that caveat out. But yeah, let's get into the first guy. South Carolina edge defender, Gilbert Edmond, a guy out of Fort Pierce, out of high school. He played his high school ball in Fort Pierce. Played a few seasons over there at South Carolina, entered the portal this past week. And a guy that, you know, obviously a lot of FSU fans are familiar with just because there's been some weird rumors floating around about him and FSU. I think FSU is in contact here, but they're not the only school that's involved with him. He was pretty productive over there. This past season had 24 total or 39 total tackles. Sorry, I'm like trying to read these stats. Two sacks and 9 tackles for loss. The guy that's played a lot of ball there, played in 12 games this year, 7 last year and 2 the year before that. I think he's a guy that South Carolina fans are pretty upset to lose. And as we know, we try to, do the Noles 24/7 litmus test of fan reaction once a guy enters the portal, and Gilbert Edmond definitely passed the test.
Not a lot of good looks, a lot of claims of tampering and whatnot. Yes. So yeah, they think highly of him.
6'5", 250, redshirt sophomore edge defender out of Fort Pierce Westwood High School.
He reminds me of Janarius Robinson a little bit with just like the physical tools, the size. Yeah, he moves really well, but still kind of this, for a guy who's been in the SEC for a few years, very raw still.
Yeah, what's crazy is out of high school, FSU actually recruited this kid. This was then Mike Norvell's literally first month on the job when they were trying to go evaluate, the last minute high school guys they wanted to take. He had an official visit set up to Florida State. FSU had made it clear that they were not sure that they were going to take him late. And I think that's what kind of made him, turn over and commit to South Carolina before taking that official visit to FSU. But they were involved. Mike Norvell was personally communicating with him. So there is some sort of a pre-existing relationship. But out of high school, he was listed at 6'4", 230 pounds. So he's put on, at least 20 pounds since he's been at South Carolina, and has obviously used that weight well to become a really productive player for them this past season. As far as his recruitment goes, I do not believe he took any visits to my knowledge. I know his camp is trying to keep things under the radar as far as, what's exactly going on. They're just trying to handle their business and find him a new place or a new home. But I think FSU is definitely in the mix in conversations with him and his family. I think Ole Miss is another school to watch, right, Brennan?
Yes, correct. That's one name that we've heard there.
Okay. Moving on, Syracuse defensive back, safety prospect, Jahad Carter. He's a 6'2" sophomore out of Richmond, Virginia, 198 pounds. He's a guy that has been part of a talented secondary over there at Syracuse that's been you know, pretty heralded. There's another guy in the portal like Deuce Chestnut, who's also a guy that, people will know from that secondary. But I think Jahard Carter is the main focus for FSU here. Texas is the one school that we've heard as you know, involved in Jahard Carter's recruitment. They got him on campus, I believe, this past weekend before he was able to, or before the dead period got put in place. So the only school that was able to host him before things went dead. Obviously, he can take some more visits once things open up for that 4-day window in January, like we mentioned. And then also things open up, I believe, the week after that fully for portal and high school guys to take visits. But, you know, obviously, if you're trying to get a guy in for the month of January as a mid-year enrollee, you'd like them to probably take a visit within that 4-day window. That's what it's there for a school like Florida State that starts its semester within the first, you know, week or so of January. You know, a talented safety prospect that I think FSU, regardless of what happens with the Deuce Cypress, like we mentioned earlier, I think they'll pursue Jahard Carter. And there's some pre-existing relationships between Carter and some members of FSU's coaching staff, like Orion Bartow, who used to work at Syracuse a few years back. The last guy I want to note, Michael Tarquin, a UF offensive lineman, 6'5", 320 pounds, redshirt sophomore out of Ocala, Florida.
He is in the transfer portal. I think he officially entered on Christmas, which has been 2 days after he said he was planning to. So yeah. 48-hour window. Yep.
Just want to make sure. Obviously, he had announced his intentions to enter. I don't believe FSU was, you know, tampering or anything like they just I think FSU obviously once the reason why guys announce their intentions to answer or to enter is so, you know, teams can start evaluating them and, you know, figuring out if they want to target them. So I think FSU is interested there. Played in a bunch of games this season, especially they had some injuries along their offensive line, but he's a guy that contributed for them all season. I believe he was listed as a co-backup in their bowl game. And, you know, his PFF grades are pretty impressive. What do you think of, I guess, these three guys that FSU could get involved with over the next month or so?
Well, all are at positions of need, right? Like starting with Gilbert Edmond, especially losing out on Keldrick Falk. Like if you all of a sudden there becomes a need for depth, because I think Keldrick Falk was someone that they were going to be banking on to be a two deep guy, at least by the end of the season as a freshman year, like someone you can use rotationally in different ways. I mean, just the way he moved and size wise, actually very similar to Gilbert Edmond. So yeah, he moves up the board with you not getting Keldrick Falk. And I think Gilbert had entered the portal maybe in that last weekend of the open period. So we would have had time to officially visit places, if I'm not mistaken there, Zach. But anyways, he's a guy like if Jared Verse comes back and if Derek McClendon comes back, then Gilbert Edmond kind of creates like this nice three-man rotation. Gilbert Edmond had like 600 plus snaps according to PFF last year, which is a ton for defensive ends. So if you can get him to be a guy who cuts his snaps down by like a third, becomes a high-end rotational guy or even a starter and gets about 400 snaps a season, like I think you can maximize what is an intriguing skill set, but albeit one that is still very, very raw and unrefined. Jahard Carter, I like a ton. I think if you lose Jamie Robinson, he's a really good replacement for Jamie in that he has a lot of versatility to his game. He could play up top. He could play the slot. They've used him all over the place in that Syracuse secondary, and he's graded out well, according to PFF. I've watched a couple of his games. He's not going to light the world on fire. He doesn't look like this all-world athlete, but just very solid at multiple things. I like him. And then with Tarquin, yeah, I don't think that's a guy. Like, I think all these UF, like Ethan White, too, who entered the transfer portal, like I think these UF guys are kind of a surprise. I don't think a lot of schools around the country were, like, tampering or doing any kind of, like, expecting these guys to enter the transfer portal. UF lost some good players from what was probably its best unit or one of its best units on its team this past season. And Michael Tarquin, I think, has some injury issues in his past, but when he has played, he's been good, especially this past year was really solid. It sounds like a guy who, like, he does a lot of things well at the highest level of college football, maybe not an elite prospect, but very solid. I think what we've learned with FSU and its pursuit of offensive linemen, they really like the three transfers they've added so far in Jeremiah Byers, Casey Roddick, and, help me out on the Auburn kid, Keandre Jones. Thank you. Keandre Jones. But all are primarily interior offensive line guys. We saw them pursue John Campbell, the Miami offensive tackle. He officially visited. We actually thought he was probably going to commit, but I think FSU's taken a step back and said, let's just see how the board plays out. I think they can go ahead and get John Campbell anytime if they ultimately decide they want him. And I think he only visited one school, Florida State. I think it'd be good for him to look around as well. So I think that's what's happening. In my estimation, Zach, I think Marco Tarquin would be a better version of John Campbell as either a swing tackle or an outright starter at one of the offensive tackle spots.
I agree.
So yeah, those are names to all mention. If you get those guys, you're talking about raising the floor and the ceiling at multiple position groups that are all positions of need right now. Yeah. Do you have room for these guys? I think that's the next question people want to know.
The numbers always work out.
Do they?
I think they do. We can get into some of the potential departures from the program, whether it be NFL or transfers, but I think it'll work out. You know, I don't think FSU is going to get all the guys we mentioned, but they'll get a few, I would expect, and maybe not even guys we're mentioning. Because remember, the portal window is still open. Bowl games are still going on over the next week and change. And I think we could see some more departures from these programs after bowl games finish, as, you know, guys want to finish out their seasons with their programs. But yeah, I think we could see another little wave here, especially at the beginning of January, as things heat up for that little 4-day window where guys can take visits. So, you know, we'll see. But I don't expect numbers to be, you know, a huge issue for Florida State. But
they're right now, for people who are interested, I think they're projected with the current signees who were added on Wednesday, and then Conrad Hussey on Thursday. I think they're at like 86 projected scholarships. Remember, you got to be at 85 before the start of the season, but there's a lot of variables still at play. And by the way, Demory Tate has transferred and entered the transfer portal. I don't know if we talked about that on the podcast. But I just got a text message. That's pretty promising.
Ooh, what does that mean?
We've already talked about it. What happens with some? Okay, sorry. Going back to the script. There's some names we're going to see. Like, what happens with? Obviously, there's like not even two deep guys, like reserves who've been passed up that could still potentially transfer out that we've kind of would keep an eye on, I think, consistently throughout the off season. But some other high end, you know, starter types who might be worth watching. Like we've talked about Jared Burse, Fabian Levitt, and Jamie Robinson as guys who are weighing their options to go NFL or come back because of a collective like the Battle's End. Coming back is an option to where you can have NIL opportunities as an established player. I think right now Jamie Robinson probably goes pro. I was leaning towards him actually coming back a week ago, but man, stuff bounces back and forth so fast. I think right now I would assume Jamie Robinson goes pro. Fabian Lovett, I really don't know what's going to happen with Fabo. I think right now he's probably leaning pro, but I think that'll be a coin flip. I don't think that's someone that FSU is taken off the board and not accounting for at this point. He is with the team in Orlando for what it's worth. We saw pictures of him yesterday at the team hotel. And then Jared Verse, I think, is a coin flip, maybe a little bit more towards being a returner for FSU with the draft grades coming. Right? Like, that could be huge because he's someone who, you know, I know a lot of the mock drafts are putting him as a top 10 guy. I think the NFL draft grades are probably saying more likely late first, early second, potentially even like a third round type of guy as you get more and more intel, because the draft grades, I think, are only like day one or round two types. But someone who could actually help his draft stock out with another year and a little bit more seasoning at the Power 5 level. And then you have guys like a Trayshawn Ward, Malik McClain, guys who have not announced that they're coming back yet, who I believe very much are looking at their options. And we'll see what happens with them. I think there's a decent chance both could return, and there's also a decent chance both could explore their options in the transfer portal. Trayshawn Ward particularly, I think, has a higher chance just given how crowded the running back room is. You got Trey Benson. You got Lawrence Toe-Philly. You got a really promising Rodney Hill. You added Sam Singleton.
Yeah, and two promising walk-ons, and CJ Campbell and Keziah Holmes.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
I got flack for leaving out CJ Campbell out of a story the other day. I'm like,
I mean, don't, because he's legit. Beast.
Like, he's good. Like, it's crazy how good that room is. And, like, we haven't really even seen the full potential of a Rodney Hill You know, imagine him as the third guy in the rotation. Like, you know, I want Trayshon to stay. I think Trayshon's a really good running back.
And culturally, he's huge. But, like, he is the anchor of that room.
Exactly. And he's like, he's the proof of what Mike Norvell can do to a player, right? Like, get, you know, come in as a walk-on, believe in the process, commit to this team, and you'll see the results. But you know, for Trayshon, I think, right, like, if you're looking at what the portal is supposed to help players with, it's you know, finding the best spot for you to succeed. And maybe Trayshon is not going to get enough snaps at Florida State, you know, amongst the other two or three or four, whatever running backs they have in that room right now. And he can go be a starter somewhere else that's going to, you know, give him a, you know, full-time, you know, carrying or, you know, snaps.
Yeah, during
game. Like, I think that's attractive for a guy that's, you know, obviously looking to improve his stock, and, you know, a full-time workload is something that I think, you know, any player on a roster is looking for, you know, if you're competitive. And I think, that, you know, I want him to stay. Like, I think I love Trayshon Ward, love the way he runs, but, you know, if he needs to go find somewhere else to go improve his stock, I don't think, you know, FSU fans should be, you know, harping on that.
Zach, the rare exception to the litmus test that Knowles 24/7 has devised. Because he's going to get a bunch of good looks, but he is someone that you want to stay and do not want to leave.
Yeah, but I think most FSU fans will be upset if he leaves.
Like, no one wants him to leave.
Yeah, exactly.
But
it'll be right in the middle.
Twofold. Right. I don't mean I think it's twofold. So you have one, like, the potential of the running back room and, like, the way Trey Benson ended the year. Like, Trayshon Ward has been a top five player in the ACC in yards per carry the last 2 years. So, like, he is a good player. But in his own right, but because of what you have in the room, I think that's part of why. And then just two, like, the other part of it is people love Trayshon Ward and the way he's carried himself and his story. So he's earned himself so much goodwill to where, like, all right, man, if you do ultimately decide to go to a place that you're going to get a guaranteed 20 touches per game, like, no one can fault you for that.
Yeah. Go ball out.
Go ball out or come back here and win an ACC title. Those are your options.
Yeah. Win-win.
National title. We'll see. No. Easy there. Good show. Hey, let's do a quick game of buyer Sinone, and then we'll do a commercial break, and then we'll do a superlative game, but I'm going to be making fun of your superlatives, I think is how I want to play that and how we're going to approach it. But let's play first game first, and that is buyer Sinone, sponsored by
the Turner Group.
The Turner Group. If you are looking to buy or sell a home in Central Florida or throughout the state of Florida, don't know where to start. Start out with the Turner Group. Colin and Amy Turner are FSU grads. They've been doing this for a long time, and they do a fantastic job of working really hard, closing deals, making things happen. FSU fans through and through as well. And Colin is just super excited, I think, right now about where FSU is going. So if you want to talk shop with Colin Turner, not just about houses, but the Knowles, maybe
Destin Hill, whatever you want to talk about.
Yeah, if you want to ask him about Destin Hill, let him know that we sent you, and he will give you all the scoop on Destin Hill. Yeah, you know what?
We filled them in.
If you want to know about Destin Hill, you can reach out to Colin Turner at 407-403-8546, and he'll let you know. Let him know that On the Bench sent you. But also have a house that you want to put on the market, too.
Yeah, don't just pester him.
All right, buyer Sinone. Zach, getting Conrad Hussey in addition to Hakeem Williams and Edwin Joseph was a statement for FSU.
Bye.
Are you sure?
Three South Florida prospects that Miami absolutely wanted, and you took them out of their backyard, even with all the momentum they had going in their 2023 recruiting class. I think it's a statement for Florida State. It's not a location that FSU's done particularly well you know, in recent years in South Florida, to get back there at three major high schools, in Chaminade Madonna, St. Thomas Aquinas, and Stranahan is pretty big.
Which we like, maybe not quite as major, but you got a major recruit out of there.
They've turned out two FSU caliber prospects in back-to-back years.
That's true. They have. Yeah. They have. So it's in a first class. Like, I love that program. I love going.
The Mighty Dragon.
Yeah, they do things the right way. Just fun.
Don't hate on Stranahan.
I'm not. I'm just. You're hating. You just mentioned St. Thomas Aquinas. Chaminade played for, like, national title. I'm just keeping you in check. It is interesting because like Miami is, and obviously you guys saw the Twitter back and forth is what it is. It was fun. I like to have fun on Twitter. But like Miami's recruiting in the high school ranks at an elite level. And they're getting players from all across the country at premium positions. They have a top five class. I think maybe in the high school ranks is top three at the moment. I haven't checked on the last day or two.
Number four right now.
Okay. So yeah, right between three and five. But FSU, what's interesting is like the guys who FSU narrowed in on and really wanted, I think they went like 3 for 6 on players or players from South Florida that Miami also really wanted, right? Yeah.
The guys they miss on, obviously, Reuben Bain.
And the Brown Brothers. Brown,
and the Brown Brothers. And, like, obviously, there's some built-in ties with both of those. Reuben Bain's uncle played at Florida or at Miami. His brother's on staff.
My man's nickname is Hurricane.
And his former head coach is on staff. His nickname is Hurricane. Damari Brown, his dad played at Miami. Obviously, the same for Devontae Brown and a guy that, you know, Miami's been in on from the start. So, not huge, you know, disappointments for FSU to lose out on those recruits, but to get the other three, I think is pretty big. Obviously, you know, I'm not discounting Miami's; those are big additions for Miami. I'm not trying to discount what they did, but I think it's a statement for Florida State nonetheless to get the other three guys, especially a guy like Hakeem Williams.
That was my point. I wasn't discounting what like Miami's done in this recruiting cycle. It's just more like in that window of like guys that you're going after in the 954-305, like. Yeah, FSU held its own this year, and that's noteworthy because that Zach mentioned that wasn't always the case. Like, you went in there and you threw some punches for guys who were wanted both locally, hyper locally by Miami, and then nationally as well. Like, everyone was gunning for Hakeem Williams at the end. It wasn't just Mario. Deion Sanders made a push in the latest of moments, right? We know Jimbo at A&M was going in on Hakeem, and yeah. So, anyways. We can look at FSU and say they left some things on the table late in the recruiting process. It wasn't perfect, but I still think you're showing incremental like signs of growth on the recruiting trail that is reflective of what you've done on the field this past season. With that in mind, Zach Byers-Sanone, FSU's 2023 recruiting class cumulatively, both high school and transfers, when it's all said and done, is going to be championship caliber.
I think it depends on what championship you're talking about. If you're talking
ACC. I left it vague.
Yeah. I'm going to say ACC championship by national championship Sanone.
I am totally with you. I think that's a great way to look at it. And that's still like, I think we're still seeing this program level up slowly, but surely. Like they probably had a schedule with what they did on the field this past year. I don't know if we see the fruits of that labor really take place. I think we start to see it in the transfer portal where guys are taking notice. But because it's such a long, winding process of high school recruiting, I don't think we can truly judge what happened on the field this past year until I guess probably starting during junior days and stuff in February. I think that's probably when we start to see, like, did FSU really make a leap up on the recruiting trail as well? So I'm with you. With that in mind, one last Byers-Sanone, with another that in mind. Byers-Sanone, FSU's 2024 recruiting class could be special. It's currently ranked, I think, 4th nationally, which it's really, 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 really early.
Yeah. I don't really get into early rankings. I don't think it means much literally at all because these classes aren't filled up. I mean, FSU has a really good 2024 recruiting class so far. But the rest of the nation is going to, you know, catch up and start gaining commitments from some of the top guys. I think regardless of that, I think FSU can have a special 24 class, right? If you look at everything that's going on in this program, they come off a 9-3, hopefully 10-3 season after the bowl game. You have the on-field result almost there to it, you know, like we said, almost near a championship level roster and just the performance is there finally. And then you move on to, you know, the NIL portion of FSU related activity. Obviously FSU is not directly involved in this, but the collective surrounding Florida State, like Battle's End, as that continues to get more and more organized, we've already seen some of the fruits of their labor within that collective and roster retention, bringing Jordan Travis back, bringing Trey Benson back, hopefully bringing some more guys back over the next couple weeks. I think you're getting to a point where you're going to be able to recruit the high school level at a really good rate. I don't want to say elite because I think, you know, you still got a little ways to go, right? You're finishing towards the later teens in the recruiting rankings. I think you could move up towards the top 10 in 2024. That's kind of the benchmark I'm putting it at. Especially if you have the results again in the 2023 season, there's no reason you shouldn't finish, you know, within the top 10 or close to that mark, you know, following this cycle, especially with the start you've already got, you know, outlining some of the names. I mean, Cameron Davis, 5-star running back committed already. Luke Kromenhawk is a top 247 quarterback committed. I mean, you got pillars of the class already in the boat. Cam Davis has expressed just his commitment is super strong. That doesn't mean other schools aren't going to try and flip him, but you're off to a great start. And you've got other guys like Jordan Pride, a top 100 prospect. Camden Fryer is a blue chip receiver prospect.
Like, legacy.
Yeah. There's a lot of good pieces you've got early on, and there's a lot of top targets that are still on the board. And I expect that board to only grow over the next few months as FSU looks to get a head start on 2024 recruiting in the month of January and moving forward. So, yeah, I'll buy that. I think it can be a special class.
There's at least the groundwork with what, and I think some of that you have to also carry over what you've done on the field in 2022. Like, you have to continue to be a team that's competing to help, like, close big recruitments. Yeah. You're going to be in more, I think you're going to be in more living rooms than you were this past cycle, like for blue chip recruits. And you have to just continue it now, but you've given yourself a chance to have a legitimate, like, top 10 high school class. And then if you supplement what you do in the portal so well, like, yes, let's see.
Yeah.
And I love that you have Kromenhawk. You have your quarterback, like, in the fold, and he's only going to keep getting higher and higher in the rankings. Like, you're going to have to probably fend off some big schools for him, but the relationship he has with Tony Tokars and his coaching staff is big. You mentioned Cam Davis. Like, I mean, that's an elite prospect, and you've done everything as a program that you can do right now. Like the running back progress and development has been awesome. Jordan Pride will be a guy, like, we'll see if they hold on to him. We'll see. Like, he's someone who I think, like, the Alabamas and Georgias of the world are going to come hard after him. And again, yeah, there's some regionality. Are. Yep. Yeah. There will be programs. There's some regionality to that you have for him, but yeah, we'll see. This is going to be fun. It'll be a fun cycle to cover for sure. With that in mind, I keep saying that that's a crutch today. It's a purple crutch. Not great. Not great, Zach. All right, going to take a commercial break. I was going to say keep checking out those 24/7 for 2024 developments, but I don't want to put that evil on you yet. It's a little early.
With that in mind, let's move on to the commercial break.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
All right, welcome back to On the Bench. Zach made fun of me on the way out. I guess I'm going to now tease him and tease you guys as we return from the commercial break here. I don't think we're going to have time to play the superlatives, Zach. There's stuff happening. There's news happening regarding something that we talked about earlier on the podcast. And that's that Braden Fisk is going to commit to Florida State. I want to get this podcast up as soon as he commits at this point. So let's talk about it. We're pivoting mid-podcast.
Yeah, it's crazy, like, how this news develops. But yeah, I mean, that's awesome news. Florida State gets a huge addition on the interior, the defensive line. We already kind of talked about it, but, you know, the possibility of losing both of your starting interior D linemen and Robert Cooper and maybe Fabian Lovett, who hasn't made his decision yet, but it looks likely that he'll probably, you know, opt to not return for another year at FSU. You look to add to that pretty good defensive tackle depth at Florida State with two productive guys and a Miami defensive tackle transfer, Darrell Jackson, and then now the new commitment in Western Michigan defensive tackle transfer, Braden Fisk. I believe he's rated a 4-star prospect according to the transfer portal rankings. Do you know that, Brendan, off the top of your head, Mr. Portal guy?
Braden Fisk is ranked a four-star prospect. Yeah, he's ranked 93 overall. That's the that's the highest defensive tackle prospect in the portal.
So you just got they just landed the top defensive tackle in the portal.
And Daryl Jackson is fifth, I think, currently. So you have two guys in the top five.
Awesome job by Adam Fuller, who kind of spearheaded this recruitment, along with Odell Higgins and others that were heavily involved in this one.
I just spoke with Braden during the break. This will all be out after he goes public and wanted him to have his moment. But he mentioned that Adam Fuller was one of the first coaches to hit him up. Mike Norvell was, I think, the first head coach to talk to him and FaceTime him right away. Braden's talked about that a couple times now. Like, that was huge for him.
And he's not the only portal guy that's talked about how quickly Norvell gets in touch with them.
Right. Mike Norvell works really hard. I think he loves recruiting, Zach.
I think he loves recruiting in the transfer portal for sure.
Well, he does love recruiting. find someone who loves you like Mike Norvell loves recruiting in the transfer portal.
Just likes that he doesn't have to, like, I don't know, like, it's like a 2-week relationship. It's kind of all fast paced. You just get it done. It's a speed date.
You have all the information too. You're not going through this whole crazy process of like this
courting process.
You know what they are. You know what it is. It's business. Let's get, like, we can help you out. You can help us out. Let's go.
Like two visits maybe, and then they're done at most. And I think that's just super appealing to a staff that is trying to flip their roster still.
I think we're at the point where, like, this is the flip. Like, it is the pancake. It's flip,
and you're adding the quality pieces onto
the pancake. Was it started off a little shaky at first. Maybe you burnt the first one, so you had to start it over again. You had it in the nice brown golden crisp at the bottom was occurring, right? And then you flipped it. And now it's about to land on the other side. In 2023, it's going to be about the syrup, Zach. It's going to be
I love the metaphor.
Thank you. but real quick on Braden Fisk. So he said, Norvell, Fuller, big. Odell Higgins in person, like, he loved Odell Higgins. And that, like, the way that they were able to pitch to him about doing a little bit of everything and being able to play multiple spots in the defensive line. He said 3-tech. He said 2-eye. He said 5-wide. Like, or is it 5-wide? I don't know. I'm checking my notes. I get AP in here soon. this is all happening very quickly, so I'm responding to it in a more frazzled way than usual. But anyways, he loved Odell Higgins. He loved the way that they pitched him. The development is going to be huge. And he also said the potential to play alongside Jared Verse. And we got to see what Jared Verse is going to do. But, like, the idea of, like, him and Jared Verse maybe playing together. Like, when I spoke to Braden Fisk, I think it was about 10 days ago or so, Zach, maybe before the official visit, like, he remembered Jared Verse's path from Albany to FSU and how they developed him. I think that was a selling point that really resonated with him, and the potential to maybe play with Jared Verse and those two guys to be leaders. And he mentioned that the chance to lead this room is something that's really appealing to him. So, like, FSU just kind of, it's amazing. Like, the process started where FSU was kind of facing an uphill battle against Notre Dame, and FSU just struck the right chord time after time again. Part of it is they had something to sell. They had multiple things to sell, but, like, that all exists now.
So impressive, yeah. I mean, you beat out the hometown school in Notre Dame, mm-hmm. And you beat out an NIL powerhouse in USC that obviously has, you know, they were borderline championship team this past year. You know, barring that bad loss at the end of the season, they were in the college football playoff. So it's a crazy good sign that Florida State can continue to win these battles. It's not just a one-off, right? They're continuing to win these transfer portal elite recruiting battles.
They are currently ranked second in the transfer portal class behind Michigan. That's before the Braden Fisk addition. I'm not sure what that's going to do to it. It may put them in first, but, like, if they can get Fentrell Cypress, like we talked about earlier, that probably does put you at number one.
Yeah,
with potential to keep adding too. And they've added, like, almost all of their guys have been four stars. I think the two that aren't four stars are Keandre Jones,
who's a high,
and Casey Roddick. And I would make the case, like, that Casey Roddick is probably, I think he's at an 89, and he's almost a four star guy. He might be the most stable of the three you're adding. So, yeah, man, this is all really cool. Really cool to see what FSU is doing in the transfer portal to help supplement some of its recruiting in the high school ranks. And we mentioned before the break, like, we think that's only going to continue to get better. It has to get a little bit better. You don't want to live in the transfer portal all the time, but, like, FSU showing there is a level of sustainability to it that I don't think any of us foresaw 2 or 3 years ago. They're executing it at such a high level. They have found this this market inefficiency, and they've exploited it to like just this remarkably high level. It's been really cool. I'm trying to think if there's anything else with Braden to address before getting out of here. His shoulder injury. He talked about that. I know people were kind of worried about the shoulder deal. He showed up at FSU in a sling. Again, he talked with the coaching staff at length. They had a plan for him in the rehab process. FSU isn't worried about it. He's not worried about it. It'll be kind of like a month-to-month deal and just see how it goes. But, I mean, he'll probably be at FSU in the next week enrolled, gets to start that process with FSU's medical staff. So, like, man, yeah, this is really cool. It's another big get for FSU, and you're getting a really high-quality prospect. Should we wrap up the podcast and make fun of your superlatives later?
Yeah, another pod.
All right. Thanks, Zach, for joining me here. This has been fun. Thanks to Colin Turner of the Turner Group. I'm sure he'll be happy with this news. Call him and ask about Brandon Fisk or about Destin Hill. And the battle's end. And more stuff to celebrate at Church Street on Wednesday evening with a little bit of country music to take you into the bowl game day. I'm sputtering out here. Help me out, Zach.
What? Just finish the podcast.
You finish the podcast. For Zach Glossine, I'm... No.
For better to know, Zach Glossine, this was On the Bench.
On the Bench.